okay? And so I'm going to be down here. I don't know what it is. I don't know how many of you have ever just went up there and stood behind that pulpit. You know? I don't know what it is. I get up there behind that pulpit, and it feels like somebody put a big barricade between me and the rest of you. I know from time to time, I've had people up there and stand behind that and going, reaching over here to try to see us and stuff. And so I thought, I feel a lot more comfortable, a lot more at ease, and just a lot more part of the family down here. So that's what we're going to do. If you got your Bibles, we're going to turn to Isaiah 52. I'm going to read verse 7. And what I would tell you about, first of all, is we was in a men's meeting last, I think it was like the, maybe October or something. And we've talked about, we were going to have to fill this slot from the time Kent left until we had a preacher. We had no idea when we was going to have a preacher. And so hopefully in a couple of weeks we're going to have one here. Well, we are. Robbie's going to be here. But at that time, we talked about it, and we all talked about getting lessons together and speak, and I talked to the guys, and I said, hey, look, I've been working on this lesson, and it's for evangelism, and we've been talking about evangelism, and there's some hard things about evangelism. There's hard things about just talking to other people, and a lot of times we have our own insecurities. Now, what if you can just take and get rid of the insecurities, where you really don't have to answer a question? The hard part you got to do is invite somebody or ask a friend to have a Bible study. You remember we've been talking about where's your world at? And your world is the people that you know, your family, those around about you. And I've asked you to think of just one person in that world and be praying about it, that they would just talk to you. Because we need their input, because I need your input. We are all going to work together on this new evangelistic tool, and we're going to create here for us to use. But what we need to know is how other people interact, how we look at it. Different areas of the country look at things a little bit differently. People look at things differently. People that don't know anything about Jesus Christ are going to look at it a little bit, or a lot different than somebody that's raised in the church. Other religious organizations and people that have grown up in other religions are going to look at a Bible study different than what you look at. And so a lot of times you know you're going to have to answer something. You're going to have to answer a question. But what if you just had a Bible study and you went through the Bible study and all you had to do was say, all I'm going to do is we're just going to take some time and read the scripture. Going to ask us a couple questions, and you answer yes or no. I mean, you read the scripture, answer yes or no. You're not saying this. You're showing them that we're God's word is saying this. Okay? But what you do want to do is take questions. Because somebody, you know, they can look at something really simple, but in their mind, you have these questions that come up. And as clear as it looks to me, as clear as it looks to me, somebody else can look at that same thing and, no, it's not clear at all. You know, somebody's going to have to explain, no, I don't, how can that be? You know, there's a lot of questions, a lot of doubts out there. And so we understand that, and what we want to do is say, oh, yeah, I understand that. How's that question? You know, if we have that question, then what we can come back and take information and maybe put together a lesson a little bit different, or ask a question a little bit different that will bring some light on that subject in and of itself. And so anyway, I had asked the guys if I could come out here and hold it more like a class on a Sunday night just to introduce this, and then we will start working on this. In your lesson, I got one of them up here. I've got lesson two of four. There's four lessons. You tonight, you have lesson one of four. It is set up in such a way that you could take this lesson. If you see where it says, come now, let us reason together, you fold this thing in half. And that's your lesson, this way. I guess you all see what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like that. All we have to do is take this lesson and fold this out like this, come over here about in half, and hopefully it's going to be like that. And we'd start right there. And so we're going to get back to that. But that was, I asked others, or I asked the men in that meeting if I could take this time to do this. And we can work on this. We don't have to get everything done right off the bat. We can start working on this as we go. But what I'm asking you is look at and just think of one person and have them look at it and just sit down and talk to you about it. It's hard to start off talking about evangelism because you've got to put yourself out there. You've got to ask other people. I want to tell you this. I want you to know this. It's not hard. No matter who you are here, it's hard to speak. It's not hard just to say, would you be interested in Bible study? I'm talking about, I've asked you somebody that you know, you can talk to them. And they're going to say yes. And you're going to say, great. And then you're going to say, well, when can we get together? And we'll say, well, we'll work on this time. And then over the next month, a lot of times, it works to get a time together. And yeah, we'll do this. And then you know the hardest part? It's for that individual to show up at that time. So you got to keep working on it. You just got to keep working on it. And so I wanted to start out right from there, and then we're going to come back and we're going to read just, we're going to just go through this this lesson one to show you just real how it, or really how it works in and of itself. Are you with me in Isaiah 52? Look down in verse 7. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace, and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Your God reigns. The other night when we were out there, we were out there working and teaching in the elements, right? The other night, the thought was and came forward that what we were going to do was always focus on God. And keep our focus right there on God. No matter what happens, where we go, our God reigns. We always have to remember, no matter what happens in life or where we go, what we do, God's in control. God reigns, and we keep our focus on God. All that we do brings glory to God. Now, that's what we have to remember. Now, look at that. As we're going down through that, it just talks about the good news. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what it just talked about. How lovely are the feet there of those who bring good news. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then it says, those that are announcing peace. It talks about that. That's peace between man and God through Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what we're doing here. And then who announces salvation? And we look at that. Oop, I skipped one. Right? Good news of happiness. And that, again, is good news about blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. Then we go on down, who announces salvation. Salvation is in no other name other than Jesus Christ. Your God reigns. We just have to remember, he is our God, he's our creator, and that we give him all glory. He's going to help no matter what we're going to do. He's going to help. What do we have to do? We have to trust in God. We have to trust in God. Through prayer, we communicate with God. We ask him for strength. You know, there was in Acts, when Peter escaped and come back, and he's knocking on the door. And Peter came in there, and that group, they prayed and prayed, and the Holy Spirit came down on them and just shook the whole place. You know, this would be a good time for lightning to hit right now when I said that. But I'm just saying, God's at work, and God will work with us and through us. In prayer. We just have to keep that line of communication on. We talked about this too. We pushed this part about letting your light shine, being a good example. You know, people will talk to you if you are that good example. And we've talked about that. And we can talk to a friend. We've got friends that we can talk to. We know that. And we can share Christ with others, and we just remember that God gives the increase. We talked about that too, didn't we? We've talked about that in evangelism. All our job is to get the word out there and maybe do a little watering, you know, help that plant grow. We should be about that. But God always gives the increase, and we need to always remember that. That's God's part of it. In Luke 10, 16, if you look over there, anyway, it's basically telling you, if you are rejected, and nobody likes to be rejected, but if you're rejected, they're not rejecting you, but he who sent you. He was in Luke 10, 16, or Luke 10 right there, Christ is sending out the 70, and they're going through all Judea, and he's just telling them, if they don't accept you, shake off the dust, go on. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. We need to remember that, because when we get rejected, nobody likes to be rejected. And so when somebody tells us, no, I don't want to listen to, you don't worry about it. Go on and talk to somebody else. And that's just in evangelism itself. In 2 Timothy 1:18 there, it says, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Don't ever have to be ashamed of it. And then in 2 Timothy 1 through 7, I want you to read that with me. We'll turn over there real quick. Second Timothy 1, 7 through 10. We're just going to look at that. It said, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Now listen to what Paul's saying. But join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Again, all these blessings that we have are coming through the gospel. And Paul's here, he's writing Timothy and asking Timothy to join, but that comes on down to us to join into this work. And what we're doing is trying to bring Jesus Christ out. And it's right here through the gospel in and of itself. And that's what we're trying to give. We're trying to give life to others around about us. A lot of times we've been working in here and trying to understand that we need to grow. But in part of our growth, we need to be of that spirit of sharing that word and to be into this work in and of itself. And so he's asking to join with him in there. And so really what I wanted to do tonight is just to start working on this home study that, it would be easy for us to work with this, I'm thinking. Of course, it's not easy. You do have to put yourself out there, and you do have to commit yourself. And when I say that, a lot of times when we put ourselves out there, we're not in our comfort zone when we talk about things like this. And not everybody can just talk to other people. It's hard for some people, even just strike up a conversation. It's hard for all of us because, you know, as individuals, we guard ourselves. And, you know, when you open up and you're expressing your thoughts about something to someone else, what are you doing? You're sharing yourself. And when you share yourself, you know what you're doing? Then again, and you feel it because you're saying, now they know something about me. Really? And I think, well, that's not bad. We want people to know we love Christ, right? We want people to know we're children of God, right? We want them to know that. But as soon as I give them that piece of information, I think they're going to stand in judgment of me. And I worry about that. And we all do that. And so we just need to be aware of that and understand that. That's just like any relationship, isn't it? I don't care what type of relationship it is, for that relationship to work, you have to open yourself up to one another. And you know what happens when you open yourself up to someone else? You worry about getting stomped on. You worry about getting hurt. You worry about them taking the very intimate thing that you gave them and they use it against you. That's just people. That's the way we are. And so we just need to understand that. But you don't get anywhere unless you put yourself out there a little bit. And if you get yourself stomped on, it hurts. Do you know what you do? You just move on. You can't stop because you're going to get hurt. You can't stop because you've got to put yourself out there. If not, you just pull back into a shell. And we did what did the one talent guy do that we talked to? What did he do with his talent? What did he do? He buried it. And that's what I'm saying. That love needs to go out there. We need to take that risk. We need to take that chance. If not, the very core of everything, you're going to bury that. So I just wanted to talk about that. Anyway, there's lessons. There are four lessons, and they do. They take a little time, but not over an hour a lesson, right? Right now, I said we just need more information. I want the congregation itself to input on this, to talk about these questions and stuff. Again, I explained that all we're going to do is just read some scriptures and answer them. And you just need to remember, it's not you saying this. This is God saying this through the Holy Spirit. All you're doing is pointing it out. You know, and you let the other person make that decision. And right now, I just want to, we'll just take a look at that. Does everybody have one of those copies that we handed out? Mine's a little different here, but everybody has that. And it should say, when you fold it together, it should have said lesson one of four on that. Okay. And this is the questions. We're just going to look at this. This first part, it starts down through. And our religious life, and ask them some questions there. You can fill them out or not, you know, if the person doesn't feel comfortable. But I'm just saying, that gives you some starting area. That just gives you some things to look at in and of itself. Because you can go back later and look at some of that. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we just look at that right now. Then we turn over there and you know what? We're going to look this scripture up. And you know what? Sometimes a person that's with you might have a hard time finding Matthew 28. You know why? Why would they have trouble finding Matthew 28? They've not read it. They've not looked it up. They've not opened their Bible up. That happened. And that's not just people in the world or people that we think don't believe in God. That's even people in other faiths right now. That's people in other congregations right now. Not congregation, I'm going to use that word, other denominations right now. We see all kinds of stuff going on out there right now, and we're wondering in our mind, does anybody open the Bible up and see what God says? No, they go in and vote on it. So what do they do? This lesson starts out talking about authority, and that's where we have to start at. We have to realize where authority is at. So then we go over here, and we've got 18 through 20 right here, and we just read it. A lot of times, if you're sitting down, you might want to read it, or you might ask the other person that's with you that sat down there. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Now, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Jesus is talking to his apostles here, and he's giving them what we call this Great Commission. And here's a question. Now, if you haven't read anything else and you just read this verse, okay, and I asked, did Jesus receive all authority in heaven and earth? What did the verse say? Well, I looked, all authority has been given to me in heaven on earth. So I looked down there and I say, well, yes or no? What did it say? Somebody? Yes. Folks, these are easy answers here. Okay? And then, since all authority, this is the second part of this, since all authority has been given to Jesus, do we look toward another source for authority? No. If all authority is given to Jesus, we don't have to go any further. We don't have to look for another authority. We don't even have to look for authority to clarify what Jesus is talking about. You know, that's how a lot of extra works get written, trying to define what the Lord says instead of looking at what the Scripture says and reading the Scriptures and saying, this is what he said. Most of us can understand that. Now, look over to Hebrews. Well, we take our time. We just look over to Hebrews 1 on there. Hebrews 1. Does anybody have that? You can read that for me. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2.
God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world.
Okay, and we look at that. Does God speak through Jesus Christ? Say it out loud. Yes, okay. He speak, and that's what he's getting the message down right there. All authority has been given to Christ over here, God saying in these last days. Now, that's a discussion in and of itself, isn't it? I mean, if you weren't familiar with anything. But that's where a question might come up. And maybe we need to clarify that a little bit. Maybe we need to come up with another question or put something else in there. And so, but anyway, we see that. And then, let's not turn to John 12, 48 and 50, but will the words of Jesus judge you in the last day? Yes, okay. 1 Corinthians 14, 37, and Galatians, it's kind of a follow-up in there, but is Jesus Christ's authority revealed to us in the New Testament? Yes, okay. What we're trying to do is we come down through here and we look at these scriptures, but we're right here, we just need to establish authority of Jesus Christ. One of the things about this is most people, when they look through these and go through this, they'll go through these first five and they understand all of that, and they will read these and they will accept, and every one of them will tell you, yes, Jesus has all authority and I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. Now, over in Lessons 3, there's some talk about instrumental music. And when you get over to there, there's going to be, well, wait a minute. I think there's no problem with that. And we're going to say, well, okay, we don't really have authority for that. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. And questions come up. And then you start, you look through that a little bit. And then you say, well, wait a minute. You answer these questions over here, and you recognize that Jesus Christ has all authority. You recognize that we understand this authority, and we said that we were going to submit to this authority. And so that's just how the study goes as it goes down through there. And you're just talking about that. Second, we're all familiar with 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Right there, and it says, do we need another revelation to make us completely spiritually. Complete spiritually. No. Now, when we just have that in there to establish that, what is that going to eliminate?
Any changes from man.
Any changes from man. Any doctrinal. Any other kind of little book that's written. Anything that says, well, we know that's what the Bible says, but this is our creed. Wait a minute. All Scripture was getting, that was it. We don't need anything else. What we've been given is enough. And then this next part, it just talks about restrictions placed upon man. Deuteronomy 4:2, could Moses add to the commandments and still be pleasing to God? No. He knows that. You're going to read that and you'll find out. 2 John 9. Now let's just read that one. We'll just 2 John 9, when we look at that, 2 John 9, that's another scripture there. You know, you can read the context with it, but as you pull that verse out, it says, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. And what's the question? Can we go beyond the doctrine of Jesus Christ and still be pleasing to God? No. I mean, I'm just saying, if people just take the time to stop and just look at the scripture, read that scripture, and then answer it. Yes, and I'm trying to make it as easy as possible. Yes or no, and you don't have to, or you don't have to anything. You said, well, that, I'm not saying, that's what scripture says. All I said is I agree with the authority and I agree with what the scriptures say. And we're just pointing that out. And then, of course, Revelation and over in Corinthians, both of those, can we add or take away from the Bible and still be pleasing to God? No, no. So, and then here's some, then as we go down, then there's some just examples of different things in the Old Testament. In Leviticus 10, 1 and 2, we see that Nadab and Abihu have authority from God to offer the strange fire. You guys remember that? They went to get fire for their incense cups, and they went over to take, well, wherever they got that fire was, it was not from the altar. That's where they were supposed to get the fire from the altar for their incense cup. And they went in there to burn incense, and God said, nope, that's not the way we do that. And he struck both of them individuals dead. So God is serious about his authority there. Okay. Now this is another thing here, and we'll turn to that. Look at Ephesians 3, 4. Can we understand God's word? And we stop and we take the time and look over into Ephesians right there, and we look at 3, 4, fourth verse, excuse me, the third chapter, verse 4, it says, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. And now we looked at, is it possible for us to read the Bible and be able to understand it? Yes. I mean, that's what it says right there. We should be able to read that and understand it. Now, through this other little question right there to follow it up. Now, here you go. This is where you just are talking to your friend here. But do you think that God would give us a book to read, believe, and obey, and then make it too hard to understand? Now, let's just think about that for a minute. God, our Creator, he's put these things down here in such a way that we can understand and that we can believe his words. And all we have to do is look at it and accept it. And a lot of times, that's just the hard part, isn't it? It's my will or God's will. Which way is it going to be? And so a lot of times, you know, and it seems like a lot of times when we look at different subjects that we talk about, if we just stop and use a little common sense and just look at the scriptures, the way they're written, and don't try to just read a whole bunch of this and that, just look at them for what they are and try to understand them. Use a little common sense, because God wants us to understand his word. God revealed himself to us through the Holy Spirit. Okay, now here we go. Standards used by men. Is conscience a good standard? And this is about Jacob. Let me see another one we could write here. Let's look at Acts. There's in Genesis, Jacob heard the lie and he was deceived. Did he believe it? Did Jacob believe that lie? I'll just go back up there. Yes, Jacob believed the lie. When Jacob heard the truth, did he refuse to believe it? No, he wanted to hear that. He wanted that truth. Joseph was yes, he wanted to hear that truth, and he believed it. He did not refuse. That's with a lot of people today. They believe a lie, but when they hear the truth, they should be willing to believe it. In Acts 26, 11 through 9, no, 26, 9 through 11, we look over there. Need that little music behind it. When we look at Acts 26, 9, 11, so then I thought to myself that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And this is just what I did in Jerusalem. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, but also when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against them. Now, when we read that, was Paul wrong for persecuting the church? I'd say yes. Yeah, we looked at that. He said he was right there, but I'm making the decision here. Yeah, I think he was wrong for doing that. Can one be taught wrong and consciously feel right? Can you do that? Can you be taught something conscious? You know, so can conscience always be your guide? You know, a lot of times I have my conscience is my guide. A conscience can be taught wrong. A conscience has to be taught correctly if that is trying to be any type of a guide. The next one is 1 Corinthians 2 through 5 right there. It says, wisdom of men, right there. That just, should our faith be in our own thinking or in the wisdom of others? Should our faith be our own thinking or in the wisdom of others? Now, maybe we should read that verse right there. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2, 5 and just look at that. Sometimes you just got to look at a verse and think about what it's actually saying. Here, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5, Paul's talking to them, and he's actually talking about the Spirit here, and that we need to really rely on the Spirit. It goes down through this passage in and of itself. It's saying those things that the Holy Spirit revealed, those are the mind of God. Holy Spirit's not down here making any other new things himself. He's just bringing forth those things that God wants for us, God's teaching. A lot of times we just need to remember that the Holy Spirit's work is to reveal the truth of God. God is the giver, and God is the one that blesses us. We need to remember that. Now, in here, he just says, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And that's what that. And so then we go back over here and we said, should our faith be in our own thinking or in the wisdom of others? Our own thinking. We need to make this decision ourselves. And so when we look at this, we should say yes. Should our faith be in our own thinking or in the wisdom of others? The clue here is faith. We're building faith. Everybody's faith that you're sitting in here, everybody's faith, anybody you talk to, it's got to be your own faith. I can't go to heaven on Larry's faith. That's not going to do it. I've got to get there on my own faith. And when other men tell me something, and I listen to that, or do I listen to God to build my faith? I build my faith through God and his word there. So I'm not going to rely on wisdom. 1 Corinthians 4, 6 is right there. Are we to think of the wisdom of men above that which is written? No, right? And then we look at the, this has two questions on that. Should this eliminate all man-made creeds, books that many denominations have? Okay, that's a yes right there. Again, that's going to be a controversial subject right there. Because all these really smart, wise men wrote all this stuff to tell you what God wants. Guess what? God told us what he wanted right there. Now this is another in Galatians 1, 3 through 16. It's talking about parents. And you know, today we talked about we talked about mothers and being obedient to family and being obedient to our moms and dads and all that. But there is a point here where in Galatians 1, 3 through 16, 13 through 16, we've just studied about that. Did Paul persecute the church because of his Jewish traditions? Yes, he did. When Paul began to preach Jesus, did he give up his traditions that contradict Jesus' law? Yes, he did. All right? Now, he went by the traditions. He went by what he was taught. He went the way he was raised. His parents raised him that way. And we're just saying right now, he has to make that choice himself. And anyway, when he found out he was wrong, he changed and he went. Matthew 10:34-37, if you love family more than Jesus, are you worthy of him? Does anybody remember that passage in there? He flat tells you, if you love mother, father, family, any of them, if you love them more than me, you're not worthy of me. So we look at that and we just find out I was getting ready to go on to this next question. I didn't know if I answered the one just before. Anyway, then we look down here at the law of Moses. Now, the parents look at it, and we understand that. And then now here, he goes back in and starts talking about the law of Moses right there. And I gave him some scriptures in there, and it says, when the Ten Commandments and the covenant of God made with Israel after he led them from Egypt. Yes, okay. Is this the same covenant that God will make with us? No. And in that reading, you'll see that. Hebrews right here, it's Hebrews 8:10, then Matthew goes over there. And it's just throw the thought question in here. What is the difference between the old covenant of Moses and the new covenant of Jesus? Now that was just a thought question. You read this in there, but we understand the one covenant and the law was a covenant by law, according to law. The other one was according to grace in Jesus Christ. Galatians 6:2, if we read that down through there, are we to fulfill the law of Jesus Christ? Yes, when we read that. Are we under the law of Jesus Christ? Yes. And that just goes along with the thoughts before that. I didn't read all that, but if you sit down and you just read it, but I need to finish up here. That's how easy we can get through a lesson. Now, to us, it was easy because we're familiar with a lot of these scriptures and we can just read them. I didn't have to read all of them. But to sit down and go with someone else and just look through it and take the time and say yes, no, and you don't have to put yourself out there. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. The hardest part is going to find time and invite them over, but the difference is you start off with somebody that you know and get the questions or the feedback on this. And as you get them back, like I said, there's lessons two to four, and then we'll just grow and we'll work with this. I'd asked the permission actually of the men as we met together to be able to do this, to work on it. But this is going to be a congregational work. And we'll just try to build on this and see if we can make it a little bit easier, or maybe clarify some things, or maybe help one another in this approach. I always like the way Jesus Christ, if you've ever seen, go through there, like sending out the 70. When he sent out 70, what did he actually send out? He sent out 35 groups. He sent them out in twos. He sent them out in teams. Get encouragement and strength from one another. When you look at his apostles, when they went out, they always went out as a group or threes or fours, or he always sent a couple over here to check this out or that. They never sent them out by themselves. So a lot of times that's not impossible to do it, But if you got somebody with you, a lot of times it just gives you a little moral support. You ever notice all those people come knocking at your door? They come in pairs. So, and a lot of times when you start talking with them, it's kind of, you got to watch it. They're pretty well trained in that because they'll keep talking. And if you bring them over here, the other one helps you guide it back to their subject line. And it goes that way. But believe me, you can stump them. So anyway, thank you for tonight. We are going to have an invitation song. And we're talking about reaching out and touching lives around about us. And all of it is for the same reason, to bring them in contact with Jesus Christ. You know what? We take that word out and we give it to someone. We don't know what's going to happen with it. We've just put it out there. It's just like in here. We put the word out there. And what individuals do with the word and how they take the word, they'll grow with it or they'll cast it aside and they won't pay any attention to it. But Christians, I want you to know your best life in this life and the life to come is in Jesus Christ. And if you've not made that decision, if you've not been a part of that, we would ask you and invite you, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ and you're willing to make that good confession, that we'd offer that invitation to you tonight. And as always, for the family here, again, I'm going to just stress this. If you need the prayers of the congregation, or if it's something a little bit more private, you know, I hate to use this word, but I'm going to use it. You need to get your prayer partner. Someone you can confide in, someone you can talk to, someone that you have full confidence in, and pray together about it. You know, get your life right, whatever it takes. But if we can help you as a congregation, we just ask that you come forward as we stand and sing. Thank you.